It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
New Zealand's Prime Minister is staying true to her word, announcing the ban on certain firearms. That decision coming less than a week after the deadly mosque shootings that left 50 people dead. Listen to this.
New Zealand will ban all military-style semi-automatic weapons. We will also ban all assault rifles. We will ban all high-capacity magazines. We will ban all parts with the ability to convert semi-automatic or any other type of firearm into a military-style semi-automatic weapon.
So the gunman used two legally purchased rifles, modifying them with an online purchase that enhances firing capabilities, basically turning those guns into military-style weapons. So what does that mean for citizens now who already own these rifles? Well, anyone with a banned weapon will be unlawfully in possession of that weapon, and they're encouraged to start turning them over to authorities immediately. Now, some owners, like hunters and farmers, they're going to get to keep their firearms, and a gun buyback program is also in the works here. This is all happening as we are now learning that the shooting suspect actually planned a third attack before he was stopped by authorities.
Sandy Rios with you. That was Fox News this morning, and we told you that the Prime Minister of New Zealand was rushing to ban guns, and that's what she's done. It's just barely taken place. It happened, what, just less than a week ago, that this shooter killed all of these people in the mosque. And so now New Zealand is moving quickly to remove guns. That's Jacinda Ardern. She's the prime minister. It's concerning in the sense that the ability to discern what's going on is so easily lost. So the left, their immediate reaction to a mass shooting like that is to ban guns. The right sees that if guns are removed, innocent people will not be able to protect themselves. And I think I told you that the shooter actually was stopped by a person in that second mosque who had a gun. He wasn't obviously shot. I don't know the details of that. Perhaps you've read it. I don't know, but I know that he was stopped by someone with a gun. They overlooked that completely. And so New Zealand's going to join Australia, and Australia has really banned guns. And so we'll talk more about that as things progress and things unfold. But here's the thing, you know, the shooter in that New Zealand mosque wrote that, 67-page treatise in which he wanted to sow chaos about guns. He wanted to affect the gun control or Second Amendment discussion in the United States. He was clear about that. He also, of course, claimed to be a fascist, an environmentalist, a communist. China, Red China is his favorite country. The media doesn't report that. So the guy's all over the map, wicked in many, many different ways, but obviously trying to sow division and confusion. Nevertheless, his objective, at least in New Zealand, has been reached. They've done away with guns in New Zealand. So shooters like him can now shoot more people, it seems to me. But so that's happened in New Zealand. Now, the other part of this, of course, is that the shooter, the mass murderer in New Zealand, part of his manifesto was about losing Western culture, and he made it about white racism. And we've had discussions about that this week where I told you that the divide between the West and the East wasn't about race. It was about their gods, the difference in their gods. So if we, though, are to complain about people coming into this country illegally, we are now racists because that's the shallow, knee-jerk reaction and lack of understanding of the real problem. And I want to talk about immigration here just for a second because a lot of other things are happening. We know that an illegal immigrant was released by Mayor de Blasio, a sanctuary city. He was arrested several times and released. They would not cooperate with ICE, and finally they had to recapture him again. He is a criminal. It's Christopher Santos Feliz. He's from the Dominican Republic. They arrested him again, and he bit off the ICE agent's finger. So there's more to that story, but that's at least what happened recently. Also, we know now that at the border patrol, the border patrol says now that detention centers are full, and they're starting to release migrants into the population. We already knew they were doing this, but now they're just making it official. They released 250 migrants on Tuesday and Wednesday, expect to free hundreds more in the coming days because there's just no room to hold them. And so the California National Guard, by the way, which has been on the border per President Trump's request, are leaving the border now to help stop wildfires. They're going to be trained in thinning trees and brush using shovels, rakes, and chainsaws by order, of course, the California governance. And so not that there are wildfires right now, but they're removing them. I wonder why. And that reminds me now of an article in Breitbart by, his name is Bokhari. And I just stay with me for a second because I want to tie this together. And this is what he writes. J.P. Morgan Chase announced earlier this month that it would stop doing business with private prisons following pressure from Democrats and progressive activists who know that the private prison sector provides key services to immigration and customs enforcement. The decision by J.P. Morgan is the latest in an increasingly popular tactic by the far left, which is to use the private sector to achieve a policy objectives that would be politically or constitutionally impossible if attempted via government. It also follows a similar decision made by Wells Fargo in January, which said it would reduce its business relationships with private prisons as part of its environmental and social risk management. So Bokhari reports that ICE has really suffered a significant blow, despite there being no Democratic mandate for undermining their efforts to curb illegal immigration. They're struggling because they're becoming attacked through the private sector. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is doing the same thing with environmental policy. She's trying to get banks to stop investing in the Dakota Access Pipeline, even though local senators like Senator Heidi Heitkamp approve of it. So Bokhari says that far-left politicians representing districts hundreds of miles away from the pipeline once again want to use corporations to override democracy. And then to guns. It's a similar story with guns. Unable to rid America of its pesky Second Amendment, the left have instead heaped pressure on big banks to make it possible for firearms businesses to operate. Last year saw a surge of crackdowns by financial services against the gun industry. Citibank said it would not do business with companies that sell high-capacity magazines. Bank of America said it would cut ties with gun stores that sell AR-style weapons. The online payment processor Stripe, already known for financially blacklisting right-wingers, doesn't process payments for any kind of gun business. Only Wells Fargo has refused to join that trend so far. And then free speech. Financial blacklisting is on the rise. Progressives want banks, credit cards, online funding platforms, and payment processors to cut off their livelihoods as well. And then it goes through and tracks some of these in detail. We'll put this article on our Facebook page so that you can read it. The point is, the left is going after our policies, our way of life, our values through other means besides the political, because they're making great gains using the private sector to punish, because corporations have gone mad, honestly. The boardrooms now have been filled with leftists, and they're doing all they can to punish conservatives and isolate them. So it's not a good thing. I want to, you heard at the top of the show today a report on the flooding in Nebraska. And honestly, I confess to you, I haven't paid any attention to this until I got an email from Denise, or a Facebook post, and she said, Nebraska needs our prayers. I'm not sure if people realize how bad it is right now for Nebraska. Whole towns are underwater. Weather reporters said evacuations have been ordered for 21 towns and communities, or more than 60,000 people, most of which also got hit by the blizzard with no place to go. These people had to leave behind or couldn't get to their pets and livestock, which means herds of cattle have been seen running on highways trying to survive their fields flooding. Not to mention it's calving season, and calves will be the first to drown as water levels rise or freeze to death. People are either trapped in their houses or can't access them since 2 days ago. This will be billions of dollars in damage and losses across Nebraska. Please pray for those suffering. And she adds the hashtag, which you know I don't like this hashtag, but if it helps them, I'll give it out. It's hashtag Nebraska Strong. I know Nebraska needs help. Nebraska, you know, I don't want to get sidelined, but you know my objections to that word. Update, as of the 15th, towns and communities are still being evacuated as the water now heads more east. They are saying the worst flooding in the east to the southeast will be this weekend. Still yet, a few more dikes and dams are compromised while levees are either overflowing or failing. Omaha roads are now being flooded. I can't add any more picture, but I know that new towns are still getting flooded as water from Colorado and the Dakotas pour in. Okay, so thank you, Denise, for bringing that to our attention. And you know, we're not hearing it much on the news because Nebraska's flyover country. It's heart of the country, salt of the earth people who are suffering, and we're not even hearing about it. If it happens in New York and there's some disaster on the Long Island or one of the islands, New Jersey, we hear all about it back to back. California, same thing. But Nebraska, did you realize how bad it was? I didn't. And so we do need to pray. And if there's any, I bet Samaritan's Purse or someone is going in there to help, we need to actively help them. So I did want to respect Denise's heads up on that. And for those of you in Nebraska who listen, we will be praying for you. And I'm going to pray right now. Actually, Father, I do pray for the citizens in Nebraska. It kind of breaks my heart, Lord, to think that that there's no coverage of this so that we don't even know. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help them as only you can. And if there's a way that we personally can help them, lay it on our hearts, give us the tools, help us to be alert and meet that need. And we ask that, of course, above all things, that people turn their eyes toward you rather than their own personal strength, that they would realize how weak they really are, which is the case with all of us, and turn to you for help and for guidance. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to turn to some other email. I've got email and Facebook posts I've gotten from you. This is from John. He says, as a student of history, I think Christianity has been guilty of a lot more violence and death over the centuries than Islam. You and a lot of the other commentators on this station are helping to promote Islamophobia. Read the Quran. Yeah, John, I actually know a lot about this, so let me just say this. Even if what you said is true, that Christianity has been guilty of a lot more violence and death over the centuries than Islam. Even let's just say that's true. Let me just tell you that perpetrating violence and death is not Christian. Perpetrating violence and death is totally Islamic. It's Islamic teaching to kill or convert. It includes beheadings. It's all laid out in the Quran. Surely you must know that. So nations, tribes, and people who kill in the name of Jesus are not, as David Horowitz, our guest a few days ago, would say, religious Christians. They're not religious Christians. They don't adhere to Christian faith. They don't kill in the name of Jesus. But nations, tribes, and people who kill in the name of Allah are most definitely religious Muslims. I would just say, John, you as a student of history, you got some stuff to learn. And I would recommend to you this book called The Grand Jihad by Andy McCarthy. He is the prosecutor who prosecuted the blind sheikh at the first World Trade Center bombing. And Andy, you've heard on this network, you've heard me talk to him many times. But Andy made it, it was the blind sheikh who was accused of being responsible and found guilty of that World Trade Center bombing. So Andy made himself a student of the Quran and of Islamic teaching. And he writes a great book called The Grand Jihad, which I actually think you could benefit as a student of history from reading. But let's be clear. In the name of Jesus, we don't kill or torture or hurt people. That's not Christian teaching. And anybody that says they're doing it in the name of Jesus is not expressing Christianity. Islam, not so much. That's exactly what they do all over the world for decades and centuries. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way. but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Unplanned, a true story of one woman's journey across the lifeline.
This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort.
Abby Johnson was passionate about a woman's right to choose.
I'm not going to apologize for doing a job that helps women in crisis.
She rose in the ranks of the world's largest abortion provider.
And the award goes to Abby Johnson.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
It just moved away from the catheter.
They always move. That's why I do it this way.
What she saw changed her heart.
It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
Changed her mind.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
They tried to silence her.
Don't underestimate the repercussions of this. You gotta be careful.
But nothing could hold her back from exposing the truth.
Congratulations. You've managed to make an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
Unplanned. In theaters everywhere, March 29th.
This is Pause to Pray. A moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Lieutenant General Samuel A. Graves, Director of the Missile Defense Agency. Lieutenant General Graves oversees the agency that carries out research and development of our nation's missile defense systems. Proverbs 14:26 reminds us of God's protection for the faithful. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift up and protect Lieutenant General Graves as he works to protect our nation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Reading, writing, and LGBT history. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Lawmakers in Illinois are considering legislation that would make LGBT history lessons mandatory. House Bill 246 is called the Inclusive Curriculum Bill. Schools would be required to teach about the roles and contributions of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people. Mandatory for students K through 12. That's right, folks. Children as young as 5 years old. Supporters say it's important for students to know how gay people influenced world history. But critics say the classes are flat out indoctrinated. Even more concerning, parents would not be allowed to opt their children out of the lessons. State Representative Darren Bailey opposes the curriculum, wondering why it's important to know about the sexual orientation of historical figures. And it's a good point. Why do the kids need to know whether our founding fathers were straight or gay? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The president should have had an easy win this afternoon, a visit to an Army tank plant that was revitalized by increased military spending that the president ordered, and new jobs were created. But instead, the president stepped all over his message, going after a man who has been dead for 7 months.
I'm thrilled to be here in Ohio.
In Lima, Ohio, in the plant where they build the Abrams tank, President Trump chose to continue his feud with Senator John McCain, who died last August.
So I have to be honest, I've never liked them much. Hasn't been for me.
The president opened up the old McCain wound over the weekend, criticizing him for handing the Steele dossier over to the FBI, and doubled down today.
John McCain received a fake and phony dossier. And what did he do? Didn't call me. He turned it over to the FBI, hoping to put me in jeopardy. And that's not the nicest thing to do.
President Trump also hammered McCain for torpedoing the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, but said, regardless, he gave the senator a glorious send-off.
I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay. We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a fan of John McCain.
It was too much for some Republicans. Georgia Senator Johnny Isaacson today tearing a strip off President Trump.
It's deplorable what he said. That's what I called it from the floor of the Senate 7 months ago. It will be deplorable 7 months from now if he says it again, and I will continue to speak out.
McCain's daughter, Megan, who was furious over the president's initial criticism, today said her father would probably appreciate how much he got under President Trump's skin.
I think if I had told my dad, 7 months after you're dead, you're going to be dominating the news and all over Twitter, he would think it was hilarious that our president was so jealous of him that he was dominating the news cycle in death as well.
So that's the way it started last night on Fox News. And I have lots to say about this, so just hold on for a second. First of all, just a little background. The president over the weekend did tweet a lot. In fact, he was talking about the lawsuit of Devin Nunes of Twitter. And he tweeted, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, not to mention the corrupt media, are so on the side of the radical left. But fear not, we will win anyway, just like we did before. And so he's tweeting about a lot of different things, and then he gets into tweeting about John McCain. Because over the weekend, those of us following this already knew this, but now we are learning more detail about how John McCain sent his aide over to pick up the Steele dossier, bring it back, not only hand it to the FBI, but circulate it to the press. That's a pretty big story. When we knew that the dossier was phony, McCain had to have known it was completely phony. This was an act of vengeance. And so it came out, more of the detail came out the last part of last week or over the weekend sometime. So then President Trump tweets, I was never a fan of John McCain and I never will be. Oh, he told reporters that. Now, here's the thing. They're talking about him offering this information about John McCain, and yet I sense, well, let me just say, based on the way John worded that report, I sense that he probably, you think maybe the press asked the president any questions about John McCain that might have elicited these responses? They are reporting this as though the president, you know, led with John McCain. He went to Ohio and he talked about John McCain. And you heard John say the president stepped all over his message. John McCain's been dead for 7 months. What's he doing this? And then John, of course, proceeds to report all about John McCain with Cindy, Senator Isaacson's response, and President Trump's remarks. Back to what President Trump actually said. I'm trying to find the exact. The president said new court documents revealed that Mr. McCain sent the fake dossier to the FBI and media, hoping to have it printed before the election. He and the Dems working together failed. He also said, I'm very unhappy that he didn't repeal, meaning McCain, didn't repeal and replace Obamacare. He campaigned on that. He campaigned on repealing and replacing. And then he got a vote, and he said, thumbs down. If Mr. McCain had provided the decisive vote, our country would have saved $1 trillion, and we would have had great health care. I think that's disgraceful, he said of Senator McCain's actions. So Senator Romney, in response, stepped up to the plate to tweet, I can't understand why the president would once again disparage a man as exemplary as my friend John McCain. Heroic, courageous, patriotic, honorable, self-effacing, self-sacrificing, empathetic, and driven by duty to family, country, and God. And then Brett Baer last night, when he introduced the panel, keep in mind that I love Brett Baer. I've always loved him. Fox is shifting, and you just have to know it is. And I'm not saying that any criticism of President Trump is wrong. I'm just talking about this particular subject matter is being treated in a very special way. This was Brett is a newsman. He generally does not do commentary. You'll notice that. That is the news time for Fox. It's not supposed to be Hannity. It's not supposed to be Tucker Carlson. It's supposed to be the news, fair and balanced. And Brett generally does not give commentary. He'll hint at stuff, but he doesn't launch into commentary. But last night, this is what he said in introducing the panel.
The president, in prepared remarks in a speech today, brought up and doubled down on comments he made over the weekend about the late Senator John McCain, 7 months after his passing. Prompting a response, as you heard there, and more of one, from Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson from Georgia, who is a Trump policy supporter, also a friend of the late Senator John McCain. Now, having just returned from Hanoi, Vietnam, I spent some time in the Hanoi Hilton, and where John McCain spent 5 years as a prisoner of war. I went into those cells. I saw the places where he was held. Senator McCain will stipulate in this show right now, spent his life serving the U.S. and was an American hero, period. The end.
So that's Brett's setup to the panel. A pretty strong opinion. I just have to counter with that. If I was talking to Brett, I'd say, you know, I was in Vietnam also. I visited those places. I visited the Cu Chi tunnels, the Mekong Delta. I talked with Vietnamese soldiers. I saw the war museum. I spent several days there, almost a week. And I don't really think that's the place you go to learn about John McCain's service. Maybe Brett has not talked to Vietnam veterans that I've talked to who can't stand John McCain. They feel like he betrayed his country. Now, that's their words. I wish they were still around. They were Chicagoans. I don't remember even how to get in touch with them. But this is the view of many Vietnam veterans because of John McCain colluding with the enemy. And I've played for you before his propaganda videos that he made on behalf of the Vietnamese communists. So there's a lot more to say about that, but it's just that that's a shallow statement from Brett. I was in Vietnam. And I'm declaring John McCain was a hero because I saw the Hanoi Hilton. I can tell you that Jeremiah Denton and others that were in the Hanoi Hilton had a very different story about their own service and their time there. They did not work with the enemy. They didn't do that. So I'm just saying that's an arguable thing to talk about. And then Donna Brazile was on the panel last night. I mean, that's a whole other story. Donna is the one, of course, that handed the questions for the CNN debate to Hillary Clinton before the debate. Remember that? So she's so trustworthy that Fox has hired her now, and she was on the special report panel last night. And this is just a little bit of what she had to say, and it springboards really what I want to talk to you about. So let's listen.
When I was a little girl growing up in Louisiana, I don't know about you, Brett, but my parents said, you don't talk ill of the dead because the Bible says the living will die at some point. John McCain leaves a legacy of service. He leaves a legacy of sacrifice.
Okay, so that's what Donna said. She said a lot more things, but I wanted to play just that part. So that's really what I want to talk about with you. I want to open the phone lines and talk. And then let me lay it out for you. Every time I hear people say this, I find myself puzzled. I recognize that and that we could talk about John McCain and his service. You know, I'm not a fan either. I'm not a fan. I don't really have a problem with a person, the truth being spoken about a person who's dead. I don't understand where we got to this place where we say you don't talk ill of the dead. Does that mean we don't say bad things about, I don't know, Richard Nixon? We don't say bad things about Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick? We don't say bad things about, what, Hitler? Because they're dead? We don't say, I don't know, about your family members, maybe a dad who was abusive? We don't say bad things about that father that passed away and was abusive. We don't talk ill of the dead. Well, that's kind of cultural, and I hear that a lot. And so I'm honestly asking all of you to help me, you biblical scholars. Is there something in Scripture that would indicate that we can't be honest? I'm not talking about slandering, because I think unnecessary slander is absolutely wrong. But if we're speaking truthfully about their character or conduct while they lived, really, is that off base for all the dead? And maybe if so, for how long? And if it's just 7 months, you can't do that after 7 months? or you can, I don't know, I how long can you do that? And so then are we then required to make up stories about the people that lived and died who were particularly cruel or who made horrible choices and ended their lives in disaster? We can't speak of that. We have to be disingenuous about it at a funeral or when we're conversing with each other because we can't speak ill of the dead. So I would really like to know what you think about it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I guess I didn't really give you much of a chance to... You guys let me know when we're ready with callers, and I'll go right away to them. I would just like to point out that in the particulars of John McCain, recall that his funeral was like the same kind of funeral a president would have. And President Trump is speaking the truth when he says that he had to sign off on that. He allowed that. John McCain wanted this big ceremonial funeral, and President Trump gave that to him, which was very gracious given what John McCain had done to the president. Because we knew already that John McCain had shopped that dossier. And there's a lot more to their rivalry. We also knew that he's the one who single-handedly tanked the repeal of Obamacare. You saw it. Remember when he held his thumb down? He had told them just hours before he was going to vote with the rest of the Republicans, and he didn't, and he was so proud of it. He loved hurting President Trump. He was cruel. And there are a lot of other things I could say about John McCain, but recall that at that funeral then, they came after President Trump with a vengeance, Meghan McCain especially. They used that platform that he had given them graciously to turn around and tear him down. So that's kind of a little background on this, but we can talk about that. But I kind of want to go to the nut of it. Like, we don't speak ill of the dead? And really, is that true? Because am I missing something? Because if that's true, if that's what God's word said, I would want to correct course and never say anything bad about anybody who's dead again. Because I believe, you know, if God's word says it, I'm going to do it. So I'm just curious to know what you think about that. Let's go to Bill in West Virginia. He's a Vietnam vet. Good morning, Bill. When did you serve and where?
I was in Vietnam in 67, 68, Tet Offensive. And I just wanted to say this about, I remember when John McCain was first running for president, I was pro-John McCain simply because he was a Vietnam vet. I was at a friend's house or a person who ran a club. I was a member of a Gravely Tractor Club. We were there to put together the news magazine. I knew this man was in the Navy. I did not know how high up he was. At the end of the session of making the magazine, he asked me to come over here, but I want to show you something. On the wall was a picture. I mean, it was a big, big picture of an aircraft carrier. He said, that was my ship, and that was my crew. He said, "Oh, you." I said to him, "You want me to find you in there?" I said, "I won't. I'll be here at this time next year. There's so many people there." He said, "No, I want to show you something." He took his finger and pointed right dead center, John McCain. Now that's the aircraft carrier that he took off of when he was taken down over Hanoi. Okay, and he said, "Ask him if you ever see him face to face. What mission was he on?" Because he was on no mission. He was joyriding an F-4 because his daddy was the big man of the Navy. His daddy was this man's boss. And that's how he got away with that stuff. So a lot of people know that. And I would hope some more veterans call in and tell you more about John McCain. And Brett Baer might go out and find out how many other planes he crashed while joyriding. You and I would still be in jail for it.
Yeah, really, Bill. Listen, first of all, I know what you guys went through in Vietnam. That's my generation, my era. And so hats off to you, sir. We had so many patriots that served in that war. And if you're in the Tet Offensive, that speaks volumes about your own experience there. That was a near win, and that was tanked by political forces here at home, just like we're seeing right now. So, Bill, thank you so much, and thanks for sharing that, because I knew a little bit, but I did not hear that particular thing. So that's a really important story and a piece of this puzzle about John McCain. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah, so are there any other vets that have stories or comments about, or even opposition? We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. So that's the issues, John McCain's record, but also, is it wrong to speak ill of the dead? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For he knows the secrets of the heart. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an opinion where the inclusion of a question about citizenship on the 2020 census was deemed unconstitutional, District Judge Richard Seaborg admitted his true concern. He said the citizenship question on the census, which literally seeks accurate information about citizenship, would cause a significant undercount of immigrants and Latinos that could distort the distribution of congressional seats. He admitted it. The U.S. Census is used to determine an accurate number of congressional seats and electoral votes. States with large numbers of illegal aliens risk losing congressional representation and influence on presidential elections if the illegal aliens are not included in the census.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We're in a pivotal moment in our culture, and the postmodern age is in full swing. How did the philosophical journey of mankind get us where we are now? What is truth? This week on Let My People Think, Ravi Zacharias helps us with engaging today's culture.
Sundays at 7 p.m. Central.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Right now, students owe a staggering $1.5 trillion in student loans. That's more than the entire GDP of Sweden and Spain and every country in Africa. Apart from mortgages, it's the biggest source of personal debt in the country, more than car loans and credit cards. And student debt cannot be erased through bankruptcy. Who benefits? Colleges and universities, who use money from student loans to raise tuition, build more spectacular buildings, hire more useless administrators, all funded by debt that's destroying an entire generation. Because students can't walk away from student loans, their credit rating may make it impossible for them to buy a home. The solution? Tucker Carlson suggests we hold colleges accountable for every dollar they dispense in loans. Right now, they get all of the benefits and shoulder none of the risks.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. There's been much talk lately about a looming trade deal with China. Negotiators are said to be making great progress and that more talks are going to happen next week. Other reports say serious disagreements persist. Then there's the question of whether and when President Trump might meet with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. Initially, it was planned to occur by this month's end. Now, it's been put off, perhaps indefinitely. Unfortunately, the problem is not just the timing, but the content of such a deal. There's also the matter of Beijing's virtually unbroken record of dishonoring its commitments. Fortunately, Mr. Trump declared yesterday that, quote, "We're talking about leaving tariffs on Chinese goods for a substantial period of time, because we have to make sure that if we do the deal with China, that China lives by the deal." Unquote. Amen. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It's deplorable what he said. That's what I called it from the floor of the Senate 7 months ago. It will be deplorable 7 months from now if he says it again, and I will continue to speak out.
John McCain received a fake and phony dossier. Did you hear about the dossier? It was paid for by crooked Hillary Clinton, right? And John McCain got it. He got it. And what did he do? Didn't call me. He turned it over to the FBI, hoping to put me in jeopardy. I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted. which as president,
we've already heard that. Now, here's the thing. That's the whole issue. That's Senator Johnny Isaacson in a radio interview talking about how deplorable it was that the president spoke out about John McCain 7 months after his death. And Johnny Isaacson, the senator from Georgia, has jumped in like Mitt Romney, like Bret Baier, to talk about what a wonderful war hero John McCain was. And I have a problem with that. I'm telling you, I have a problem with that. According to what I know and understand about his service, I don't care what the public keeps telling you. I don't care what the mantra is. Why did they go to such great lengths to talk about how wonderful he was? What is the motive there? I don't understand that. At the very least, there's doubt. I would say there's more than doubt. There's enough evidence. There's video evidence. There's audio evidence of his collusion with the enemy. And when I last talked about this, I think when John McCain was diagnosed with his brain cancer, we gave you lots of links to information about his service with verification about how he cooperated with the Viet Cong there, even in the prison, and got special privileges after he got over his sickness. The pictures you see of him was when his wounds after he was shot down, or shot down, after his plane went down. I don't know if he was shot down or not, but his plane went down, he was captured, and he was wounded falling out of the plane. As I understand it, one of the reasons his arms were broken was because he used the wrong procedure to get out of the plane. That's what military people have told me. And so after he got well, though, he had special privileges, according to others that served with him. You know, so I could go into more detail, but I'd rather hear from you. So first of all, I just quickly want to go to Georgia to John. John, that was your senator talking, and I'd like to know what you think about that.
Yes, I don't find Trump's remarks deplorable at all to my senator. What I find deplorable is that he didn't give his friend McCain a verbal whipping for keeping Obamacare on the causing financial hardship for the 10 million plus residents of Georgia and the millions across the country. Where was that verbal whipping? That's what was deplorable.
Yeah, good point, John. Very good point. And see, these guys just circle around each other and sing each other's praises, and that's what we call the echo chamber. And you're right, your senator has failed in just speaking the truth even to his friend. I mean, that was deplorable what John McCain did. He is personally responsible for Obamacare still being in place in this country and for all the people that have suffered from it. We could have gotten rid of it. And he, just because he was piqued at President Trump, decided to surprise, and because he was dying and he knew, you know, he had nothing to lose, he voted no at the last minute to repeal and replace it. So we just have to remember that's the backdrop of this. John, thanks a lot. Let's go to Don in Illinois. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Sandy.
We can't hear you very well, Don. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes, good morning. Just wanted to say that telling the truth is nothing wrong with telling the truth about the dead. That is not saying anything bad about them. That's done throughout Scripture everywhere. A lot of our heroes in Scripture, there was some unflattering things that the Word of God says about them, but it's truthful, and nothing at all scripturally wrong with saying that. And as far as my personal feelings toward Mr. McCain, I've always suspected that he might have been impersonating a war hero. He definitely was impersonating a conservative senator, and I like him more now that he's passed on to his reward than before he was passed on to his reward.
Yeah. Okay, Don. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. At the very least, there were tons of doubts about his service, not only active duty service, but also his capture. And I remember being in his office a couple of years ago with General Boykin. The two of us went there to talk to him, to intercede for someone. And the thing that he wanted to do was to take me over to his big board in his office and all the pictures of his his captivity, all the things about his service, the record, he was, you know, trying to convince me of what a hero he was. And I thought, if he really knew how I feel about him, I didn't say anything because we were interceding for a soldier who was in distress. And to his credit, he did help that soldier. So that was a good thing. But I don't understand why you would wear that like a badge. I don't understand why you wouldn't, like, if you could make the case that he was shot down, and what would you do if you? The narrative is that he was tortured, and so what would you do? He caved. My understanding is he didn't. He wasn't really. Look, I'm just telling you what other soldiers have said to me, that he wasn't really tortured. He caved right away and started cooperating. But the narrative is that he was tortured. Why would you wear that like a badge? Why would you have a video make and run as president and run as a hero? Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Wouldn't you want to not talk about it? I don't get it. So anyway, let's go to Jason has a few words on speaking ill of the dead. Okay, Jason, what do you think? Is this really a scriptural principle or something we shouldn't be doing?
Well, there is the Bible verse says grieve with those who grieve, and you know, talking with those who are relatives who are the senator 7 months, you know, maybe not. And this is from I'm a former youth pastor, so there's some pastoral care there going on. The dead can't defend themselves. That's another couth thing. But however, the family also knows that their dad, their cousin chose a public life. So there is a little bit of public accountability when you make mistakes in public. But with that being said, you know, if I was talking to the relative on the street, et cetera, you'll want to have some
words of comfort,
some comfort, a little bit of comfort there. And I didn't agree with your father and everything. And then real quick, number two, my dad's a Vietnam vet and I'm a big history buff. And, remember these folks were a lot of them were atheists. So, and if I could be wrong on this one, I don't think they signed the Geneva Convention. And even if they did, the communist atheists, they really don't care. Their worldview is people are nothing but bags of protoplasm. Once they conquered the South, look what they did to the Christians and other theists in South Vietnam, torture, murder of their own people, let alone a guy who's either shot down. I'd never heard any of this, by the way. That's why I love your show. It's very informative. But let's just say the narrative's true. Let's just say the narrative's true, just for a second. Just put it on the shelf, and let's just say it's true. Can we not separate the hero in 1960s, 1970s war and terrible policies of the senator? We can separate this. I can separate it very easy. Okay, he was great in Vietnam, but he fell short like Lucifer was once an angel, and he fell, right? So can we not say that, oh, he was great in Vietnam, but then he became a fallen angel? On the flip side, I want to make this point, too. These atheists they'll torture. Everybody has their breaking point. Everybody has their breaking point. And we don't know. Maybe these veterans do. Again, I never heard this before. But we don't know how far they were put. Remember, these are people who, they torture their own people. I mean, even if he crashed his plane. Again, it doesn't make it an excuse. I don't want to give an excuse, But on the flip side, there is a breaking point. There is a time
yeah,
it's like,
Jason, I'm going to interrupt you. No, you've made some good points, especially about trying to separate his war record from his policy record, which was terrible. And he did lie to the people of Arizona all the time. Every time he ran for office, he talked about how he was going to, build the border wall. He was going to, enforce immigration laws. And he did that all the time and then lied. And as soon as he was elected, he went right back to trying to provide immigration law that was watered down. He wasn't interested in a wall, just on that issue alone. But Jason, I would say one thing, the standard defense of McCain always is, and that it's understandable if it's true that he was tortured and then, he gave it up to the enemy. That's, I think people do always use that reasoning, which makes sense that people have a breaking point. But I would say that people who actually served near there, except there's one guy close to him who has a different story, who kind of sings the party line, but he's the only one that I know of, said that that's not exactly how it went down. So, but listen, thanks for your comments. I appreciate them very much. And let's go to Lisa in Louisiana. Good morning, Lisa. Quickly, if you can.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say that our president, that's why he's under fire so much, is because he is speaking the truth. He's speaking the facts. And that's why they're trying to impeach him, and why they don't like him so much is because he is speaking the truth. And, of course, they don't like the truth. The other side doesn't. And I didn't know if you knew that Fox was signing a deal with Walt Disney.
Yes, of course I know. Yep, Lisa, I know all about it. And it's not the Fox News channel, but of course there's going to be bleed over. You know it is. The thing that I reported yesterday, Paul Ryan is on the board of directors now over Fox News channel. He's one of like five people who'll be Mr. Conservative, like not is going to be over Fox News. I don't want to mistake that. He's one of the board of directors, and I think that's like it's a paid position, lots of money, and he'll have a lot to say about who's on the network and about what they say. So we're already seeing a shift inside the Beltway with my friends. We're already seeing lots of things we're very concerned about. So yes, I know that, Lisa. We'll talk about that on another day. I'm sure we'll talk. We talked about it yesterday, but we'll be discussing it further later. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori. You found a scripture reference for us?
Not just a scripture reference, but a commandment. First of all, we're told not to lie. Thou shalt not lie. Yeah. And Jesus is identified as the way, the truth, and the life. And then we're also notified that when we know the truth, we're free. And that's part of the problem culturally right now. We have a culture that doesn't want to live by the truth. They don't want to tell the truth. And we also have a culture that romanticizes death and fantasizes death. They've been doing it because of the influence of the media. Not telling the truth traps us into a position of repeating the same mistakes over and over again. It's ludicrous to think that we cannot factually report the truth as it is, because from that, we will be better off and we'll be less likely to repeat the same mistakes. Telling the truth about the dead is not something that anyone should ever be ashamed of. You should be ashamed if you embellish the truth, not if you tell the truth.
You know, Lori, I think you're spot on. You've really gotten down to the nut of this I didn't have to help at all. And I just, you're absolutely right. We want fantasies, and this fear of not speaking ill about the dead or embellishing their resumes or making them into something they really weren't, this cannot be coming out of Scripture. It can't, because of what you just said. You know, our God is the God of truth. We know that Jesus, you know, spoke plenty ill of wrongdoers. Judas was referred to it, not by Jesus, but as the betrayer. I don't know, maybe he did refer to him as the betrayer, but let me just say that, you know, people were labeled for what they were. And and you're right that, like, if at funerals, I have to think about this one, but if there were more honesty, there might be lessons learned from death. Lessons could be learned as opposed to just glossing over things and not really addressing them truthfully, which is at the heart of the God that we serve. Lori, eloquent and beautifully said. Thank you. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Good morning, Mike. Quickly, if you can.
I spent 23 years in the Army, 20 of them in Special Forces, and one of the schools we have to go to is SEER school. It's Level C, high risk. And one of the things that they teach you is when you get captured, you hold out as long as you can so that intel or information you have is, you know, no use anymore. And they teach you that, hey, you're more likely going to break, okay? There was only a couple guys in Vietnam at Hanoi Hilton that was POWs that actually never broke and they were killed. And if you read the biographies, they were Christians. I'm no fan of John McCain, but I will say that, you know, I've been to SEER school, I've been in the RTL, I've been slapped and everything else, and I couldn't imagine doing it for 5 years. He was probably targeted because of who his dad was and everything.
Yeah.
But,
Mike, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm so sorry because I'm running out of time, but I have to correct your impression. My understanding is that McCain was not tortured. He was not tortured for 5 years. He became a friend of the Viet Cong, and that he caved right away, told them everything they wanted to know. That's what the insiders are saying. So you're probably hearing the narrative that the press and Brett Baer know. But I'm telling you, from my information, it's not true. Sandy Rios in the morning on VFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.